plate a potential nugget.
In the book, you talk about the notion that teachers don't come to us on our terms. That got me thinking. And you go on to say, as long as we insist that the lesson plan has to proceed along our expectations, nothing a teacher says or does will make a difference. Can you talk to us about the wisdom in these lines?
Well, it's basically to shatter our expectations that we have of ourselves and that we have of the world around us. This consumer mindset has taken over to the point that even learning has become a form of action. What am I going to get out of it? Even day before yesterday, I had to do a media interview and they asked me, what are the takeaways from your book? And I said, what's the point of takeaways? Why do you think that there should be takeaways? Why don't you think that there should be just letting go, that if you read the book, you might actually shed some traits. You might actually, let go and dissolve some of your tendencies rather than takeaways. You see, so this idea of consumer mindset is it's so deeply ingrained, in us that we have to recognize that the rules of engagement in spiritual life are quite different. So this is what happens is, we seek a spiritual teacher, but we have expectations. We have expectations from what the teacher should appear as, what the teacher should speak in the language, and so on and so forth. When we follow a book, when we read a book, it's the same thing, you see? Meaning that all we are doing is looking for validation and affirmation. And this is the difference between having a spiritual teacher versus reading a book or watching a video. A book or a video is not going to push your buttons. It's not going to bring to your mind truly what is at stake. You see, because all we do when we read a book is we seek resonance. When we listen to a teacher with expectation, we seek resonance. But we seldom ask, what in me is seeking that resonance? Right? If it's the same unfiltered ego that is seeking resonance and seeking validation, what's the point of even treading spiritual life? What's the point of seeking a teacher? You see, you can constantly just validate your own perspectives on things. So this is the distinction that we have to recognize that it is not always set lesson plans. It's not that, in 8 weeks or 6 months, you're going to meet the desired goal. You know, it's like when a car salesman in the US, when they're selling you a car and you ask them, what's the mileage? And they say, well, the mileage may vary, depending on the user. You see? And spiritual life is very much like that. The mileage may vary, and each user is unique in that regard.
Very well said. The other element you talk about in the book, in page 153, you quote, a teacher may see your potential in ways that you can't see yourself, and may recognize conditions that are ripe for a change and strike a note that you didn't realize you were ready to hear. I'm curious about how you think about teachers unlocking the potential of the other person that the other person can't see yet. What's been your experience with this?
I think, sometimes, we all have blind spots, and sometimes things that are so close to us, or we have held so closely, our belief systems, our mental dispositions, hurdles, obstacles, that they fall in blind spot. And sometimes we just need another thoughtful individual to be able to see them and point out that, that's hazardous. You're continuing to do this. You're not looking at it. That's hazardous. And I think, we should look at obstacles in that particular manner. That when a teacher points out something, it is precisely that. The second thing is, the trappings. The trappings in the sense, again, that we may get trapped in a particular storyline or a particular narrative of who we are, what our life's purposes, and so on. You know, and we don't need religious upbringing to have that. You know, that's deeply sort of tied into our human nature in some way. And can sometimes simply help by pointing to the idea of, is that all you are? Is that the purpose that really drives you? Or sometimes even asking a simple question like, are you happy? Do you feel a sense of freedom? Have you been kind today? You know, simple things of that nature can trigger a kind of reflection, a kind of thinking that I think would be rather useful. And that's the joy of teachers, which is that it's they say things or they point to things at the right moment, at the right time. And sometimes they have tremendous patience. They need to point to things several times before we can see our blind spot. You know, that's just how this whole discipline is in some ways.
And in that context, in your journey, have there been one or two instances of people pointing you towards something or asking a question and you realizing the value of that several years later?
Oh, yes. Many, many such incidents. Many such incidents. One I mentioned, of course, is the story of my very dear Japanese monk teacher, Reverend Sasaki. Okay. And the conversation with him, the way he lived his life, that at times were very puzzling to me, and not by the book, and which made me recognize whose book, whose book is it that we want to live by, Buddha gave guidelines, but are those guidelines still useful if they are simply fabricating more ego rather than dismantling the ego? Those are the things that years later, you come to recognize. You're lucky if there's an instant recognition of certain shortfalls. It's literally like the light bulb going on. But sometimes the light bulbs take time because you have to go through those experiences. Because, at times, even if the light bulbs go on, meaning you have that insight, it's not that you take ownership of the insight. You know, the insight is not embedded in your mind stream. It doesn't change anything. And it's years later that insight might push you in certain ways that it changes things. So there are many things like that. You know, Mother Teresa, a simple questioning of, you have read a lot about compassion, you have meditated on compassion, how about manifesting it?
Wow.
Simple thing, but very to the point. It was there, but it was a lesson that has changed my entire perspective on how I approach life altogether.
In my own limited way, I realize that in the coaching and the advisory work I do, very often the development of the leader occurs in his or her blind spot. They might come in with a preset expectation that they want to work on A, B, and C, but often we realize that the real unlock lies somewhere else. And if I look at the leaders that have made the most progress, it's those that have been open to this process of discovery and have accepted what emerges without trying to validate the findings with their past worldview. If I look at my journey, some of the biggest breakthroughs have come from my blind spots. When I was evaluating choices post-McKinsey about a decade back, I was evaluating options such as strategic planning, private equity, venture capital, and so on and so forth. Typical pathways post-McKinsey. But one of the partners, Ramesh Mangaleshwaran in Chennai, looked at me and said, "Have you thought about executive search?" And I gone Zender. That one line input changed my life completely. And it came completely in my blind spot. I wasn't expecting it at that point in time. I guess all of us are busy with the rough and tumble of our daily lives. When we find a guide, I feel that it's imperative that we surrender to the teacher and be open to wherever the learning comes, not just in the places where we seek the learning. We might be confining our growth by the limitations of the way we see the world and ourselves.